Good morning. As everyone here knows, I am a major proponent and support for the birthright of everyone to directly realize timelessly awakened awareness. So, this is the birthright of everyone. It's not something that's just for special or elect people. And it isn't something that takes a long time to do. What is already accomplished is already accomplished. It's already so. It's our natural state. We've never been anything other than awakened awareness. There's no perception we have of any kind that is not the substance of awakened awareness. Every perception we have, its origin is awakened awareness. And it's only within the perception itself that awareness recognizes itself. So whatever the perception is that comes up, self-knowing awareness, and this is the only choice a human being ever has in each moment, and the most important choice a human being has in each moment is to utilize self-knowing awareness, which is the human expression of awareness, to either recognize that perception as awareness or not. So it's so simple. You know, it's just awareness is all dressed up as all these things we see. It's a magnificent display of all kinds of words, names, labels, appearances, possibilities, permutations, people, places, things, circumstances. But all of these, they're just the points of view of the pure view of awakened awareness. So if we want to talk about our identity at all, our identity is this awakened awareness that's inclusive of all points of view. The pure view of awakened awareness, inclusive of all points of view. And a way to visualize this very simply is to just allow the awareness that you feel and sense to blend, to mingle with the vast expanse of infinite space. Just imagine that. Feel that, sense that. And as that is, and you feel and sense it more and more, imagine that in that pure and vast infinite space, and out of that pure and vast infinite space arise all the letters of the alphabet, whatever they are. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Did I cover them all? I think for everyone in this room I did. If I were with Mandarin speakers, I'd have a little more difficulty. But I'd have to rely on someone to help me with that one, I think. But, you know, when we form all these letters out of pure space, and then we shape them into different labels and themes and paragraphs and descriptions and books and meanings and on and on and on, what can we say about all of these letters of the alphabet that we've made out of pure space, out of the pure space of awareness? All we can say is that they are awareness. They are awareness. They're nothing but pure space. So each of these appearances, each of these points of view, it's like a mirage. It's like a dream image. It's like a sound and an echo. It's apparent without truly existing. Just apparent without truly existing. So we don't say it's only apparent. That would be dualistic perception. And we don't say it's not existing. That would be an extreme of non-existence or nothingness or no self or no thought or no concepts or something like that. So we don't say either. We say that all appearances, no matter what they are originally pure from the beginningless beginning as awakened awareness, and that our own awareness is the root of all of those. So whatever perception we're having, it is our awakened awareness. There is an awakened awareness aware of a perception. There's awakened awareness as the perception. So this makes it very easy because suddenly we're waving the right flag, white flag. Surrender, no more war going on. No more war between awakened awareness and perceptions. No more war between awakening and trying to purify body, speech, and mind and all of these kinds of things. Rather than saying that there are all these things that need to be fixed, egos, personal identities, psychologies, memories, all of these things that need to be fixed or reshaped or refined or purified in one way or another, we acknowledge that the ground of our being is a pure realm. It's pure from the beginningless beginning. And as we are already pure from the beginningless beginning, when we simply rest as the essence of every perception, which is this awakened awareness, more and more we know the totality of all perceptions as awareness. But we can only realize this through resting as each perception. And in that uncontrived rest, we realize these two, the vivid appearance that is distinct and clear, and its essence as awareness. So this vivid appearance that is distinct and clear, it has no origin other than awareness. It doesn't have an independent origin of any kind or independent substance of any kind. Thus, it can never get us. Do you see what I mean? It can't get us in any way. And also, we can't do anything to get it, because the moment we try to attain what is already attained, then we're off on a detour. We're off on a detour. So when we rest naturally for short moments, repeated many times, without seeking to do anything about the point of view, just simply resting as that point of view, then very quickly we begin to feel an incredible softness about everything, because the war is over. You know, the war is over. All the guns have disappeared. The missiles, the hand grenades, they've all disappeared. Because, you see, when I talk about this as a war, because if we're living from point of view and we just recognize all the points of view and think that they're real, it's just like constantly being at war with ourselves, lobbing hand grenades within ourselves. And it's, you know, it's just like with each perception, no matter what it is, we have the opportunity to kill ourselves or not. You know, that's, to be candid, to be quite frank, that's what happens. We have an opportunity to kill our true self or not. And so when each perception comes up, if we take that point of view to be real and we go off into a big story about it, then we kill the recognition of our own awareness. It doesn't mean that awareness isn't already there and awake no matter what's going on. It certainly is. But when we don't recognize it, we feel alternating pleasure and pain. So, you know, very often people ask me, is it possible to kill from awakened awareness? Well, you see, when we look at any word, no matter what it is, like killing, we have to not only look at that in terms of conventional ways of describing killing, but we have to look at the ultimate meaning of killing and what that means to us as a human being. And all of these things that we're always trying to project outside of ourselves on points of view, that we make into a world of all these things that are based on cause and effect, effort and achievement, then we say, oh, killing, it's out there and it isn't something I would ever do. But when we bring all of this home to our own awareness and we see that in each perception we're responsible for recognizing our awakened awareness or not, then we see that in each perception we have an opportunity to kill ourselves or not. Isn't that amazing? And you know, when I say something like that, it's brutally frank, isn't it? It's straightforward. It brings it right home to the essence. Because you see, there's no one else who can do this for us. No one else who can do this for us. It's all up to us, because our awareness is the root of everything. So you know that we have two ways to approach this, really. One is to, and these are the only two ways I suggest, to continue to show up here, and conviction will dawn. You will saturate yourself with yourself just by showing up here. And the other is that if you have a point of view come up that you just can't seem to get out of, to rest naturally and to rely on the teacher, the teaching, and the community to support you in doing that. So, you know, this is very simple. It's the same way we learn to live and believe that we're points of view. We hang out with other people who have a lot of points of view. They tell us we're somebody, and we buy it. We say, oh yeah, I'm somebody. You know, I really am somebody, and all my points of view mean something. And all my points of view are my personal identity. So when we rest, then as the uncontrived awareness of each point of view, then we realize that human life is a unique occasion. It's a unique occasion, and it's the perfect or right juncture to realize awakened awareness. That's the meaning of human life. And when we're born into human life, it's self-knowing awareness, knowing itself. That's the only role of human life. It's really the only role whatsoever of human life. Self-knowing awareness, knowing itself. So it's like being born into a land of jewels. And we live in that land of jewels our entire life. And so living in that land of jewels, we can either leave human life with never having recognized that any of those jewels are there. In other words, all our points of view, they are the jewels of the treasury of awakened awareness. Or we can realize that we are the land of jewels. That we really are the land of jewels. And sometimes when we hear about this for the first time, it's like a destitute person being given a precious jewel. And you say, oh, here is your 100 carat diamond. It's all yours. It's a perfect, flawless diamond. Here it is. It's all yours. It's kind of shocking. Well, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? Well, you don't have to do anything with it. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. There's really nothing to be done. As everyone already is who they are, there really is nothing to be done. And there's no way to realize the essence of genuine being in any way other than through uncontrived rest. When we realize that we have this incredible opportunity, we begin to see how life, based on point of view, is really filled with impermanence and death and frustration and suffering. The more we rest as awareness, the more we realize that all of our belief in points of view have caused us to take the entire context of life as death. Do you understand what I'm saying? When the context of existence is death, in other words, in every moment, we need some kind of point of view to try to fend off the inevitability of death by feeling strong, courageous, by being right, or whatever it is, then we can't come face to face with the reality of our human existence, and that is that our body dies. Every single person in this room will die. Every single person in this room will die. Every single person on the face of the earth will die. And when we realize that we will die, and we realize that when we die, if we have practiced resting as awakened awareness until we're resting without trying to do so, then when we're dying, death will be another point of view that we're resting as. But if we don't rest as awareness, then when death comes up, we're going to have a real dilemma. A real dilemma. That's the way it'll be for most people. I have many friends who work in hospice, and they share stories with me about the kinds of things people face, and it's very rare for a person to have a peaceful death. Because, you know, when we think about all of our perceptions that come up in life and how troublesome we may take some of them to be and how challenging we may take some of them to be, they're all preparation for this perception of death that's going to arise. All of these pinnacle teachings, this was their basis, the compassion of preparing people for the moment of their death. So when we rest as the essence of every perception, then we're entirely prepared for that moment of our own death. And in that moment of our own death, we're nothing other than timelessly free awakened awareness. And any images that come up about past, present, or future, we just recognize those to be the emanations of the dynamic energy of our own awakened awareness without taking them to be anything. So, you know, this is very significant. How many people here have been with someone when they died? It's a precious opportunity.
The question is, on the moment of death, is everybody automatically realizing their true nature?
At some point in that, yes. But in the dying process, there are usually many, many images that come up. In other words, points of view. But if one has been resting as awareness or is just living as awareness, then there's complete freedom as whatever is arising. It's realized just to be the dynamic energy of awareness. So there's complete freedom in death. What could be better than that? Because you see, all these points of view, no matter what they are like a mirage. So if we try to find satisfaction or fulfillment or an identity in any of the points of view, then it's like believing in the images in a dream. Like believing that the dream we have at night is real and that we're going to base our whole life on it. So when we recognize that all points of view are impermanent and that death is inevitable, then we come to a true understanding of the dynamic energy of point of view, and that we have this choice in every single moment to either recognize our own awareness or not, and that the total love of this basic space of timelessly awakened awareness is the basic space of every single point of view. And when we simply rest, we rest as that basic space of total love. But it cannot be realized in any other way. Maybe once in a billion people or once in 7 billion people, there may be someone who realizes that. But we can each guarantee this realization for ourselves simply by resting. Simply by resting. When we live a life based on point of view, there's a great deal of frustration and suffering. And with a powerlessness in terms of what can I do about it? What can I do about all this frustration and suffering, my own frustration and suffering, the frustration and suffering that I see in the world? And it's so obvious, you know, we see this country with nuclear missiles pointed at that country, and I think about all of them have nuclear missiles now pointed at each other. and we see the ozone layer diminishing and most of the world's people without any food to eat, and we see all of these things. Well, we really can't deny that there's immense suffering. And then there's frustration, too, that this suffering can't be resolved. And then we see the way that things really are, you know, just like within the animal kingdom, that human beings prey on each other, human beings kill each other, human beings war with each other. From point of view, throughout the animal kingdom, not just the human animal. Human animals kill each other, but other animals kill each other too, and the insects, so the big ones eat the little ones, and on and on and on. So there's no denying that life is filled with frustration and suffering and a total sense of powerlessness if we're living based on all of our points of view. Constantly efforting to be a good person, constantly efforting to have good thoughts, constantly efforting to have good emotional states, constantly efforting to have good conduct, when all the while we're already good. And that goodness can only be realized through resting as awareness of every perception. So when we first hear about this, it's like turning everything we've learned upside down. Because from point of view, we learn we have to work, we have to work, we have to work, we have to effort. There's something to be attained, and most people never attain it, but at least through meditating and yoga and pujas and mantras, I'll be able to take the edge off, that sort of thing. But, you know, all of these things, methods and practices, unless we're resting naturally while we're doing them, they will never lead to realization of who we are. And if any of us look at this with elementary discernment, we see that this is so. Because we know countless people, maybe even ourselves, who have meditated for forever. If meditation led to enlightenment, wouldn't we have just millions of enlightened people? But you see, the ultimate meditation, if we want to use the word meditation, is this meditated absorption as point of view, awakened awareness as point of view. That's the sublime meditation, the ultimate meditation, the ultimate yoga, the secret mantra. The ultimate mantra is resting naturally. There's nothing to be done. There really is nothing to be done. So sometimes when we first hear about this, it may sound as though we're hearing something that will just allow us to do whatever we want to do, and anything goes, and that sort of thing. All conduct is timelessly free, all thoughts are timelessly free, all emotions are timelessly free. But that isn't the nature of awakened awareness at all. The conduct of awakened awareness is like fine flour. It's like fine flour. It's like always being before the highest judge. And this isn't something that's cultivated or developed. It's naturally so. It's naturally occurring. And we realize this sublime conduct through natural rest. And this sublime conduct is an emanation of incredible benefit, compassion that does not need to be developed or cultivated, all knowingness or omniscience that does not need to be developed or cultivated, all arising as a natural emanation of rest itself, of the rest that is the sublime heart essence of everything. So, you know, when we are realizing who we are, it's very important to not either oversimplify it or overcomplicate it. See, if we oversimplify it, then the point of view is, oh, everything's timelessly free, I can do whatever I want, it doesn't matter. And as we all know, there are many books written today that espouse such beliefs. And another example of an oversimplification is to say, oh, everything is God's will, so no one can do anything about it, or everything is predestined, so no one can do anything about it. That's an oversimplification, too. And to overcomplicate it is to say, well, you must work and work and work. You must meditate and meditate and repeat mantras and visualize mandalas and install deities and do this, that, and the other thing. And you probably must do this for countless lifetimes before you ever wake up. So see, one is an overcomplication and one is an oversimplification. But in uncontrived natural rest, there is the reality that is naturally occurring and already present of inherent ethics and self-growth. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's inherent ethics and self-growth. So it isn't ethics or morality that needs a rule book. It's naturally occurring. When we rest naturally, compassion just opens up, you know, like the leaves of a lotus, the petals of a lotus. It just opens up naturally. The sun of awareness opens the petals of what's already there, that we've been trying so hard to get, trying so hard to be good people, trying so hard to have all the right thoughts, all the right emotional states, all the right conduct. And here we are, resting naturally, and we find we're totally good. We're totally good. And it's easy to be good. Because it's natural. If we're trying to achieve being good, it's like trying to achieve the sun in the sky. You know, the sun in the sky is already there. We don't have to prove its existence. So this ethics and self-growth, it's traditionally in the pinnacle teachings of great freedom and perfection, there have been preliminary practices where people conform their body, speech, and mind to enlightened body, speech, and mind. So we have regular body, speech, and mind based on point of view. And what that is in a very practical way is that body, speech, and mind, that is all centered on me, me, me. My practices, my awakening, my life, my comforts, making everything all right for me, keeping away the bad people, making the bad people wrong, making myself right. So you see, this is what body, speech, and mind based on point of view are. And body, speech, and mind based on point of view, it's just always focused on what's going on in terms of a personal identity. And enlightened body, speech, and mind, which only comes about through resting naturally, is filled with compassion, filled with the emanation of benefit, filled with enlightened qualities and activities. So the distinction between the two is, one is totally focused on me, 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 mine, I'm somebody, gotta get everything I need in order to feel good. And the other is, how can I serve? But it's not, how can I serve, like waking up in the morning and saying, oh, I'm going to be of service today. It's how can I serve without even thinking about it. It's just every thought, every action, everything that arises in speech is that and nothing else. And this is naturally occurring. It's already present, but it can only be tapped into through natural rest. This is amazing, really. It's so amazing, and it's absolutely the case. So, you know, this, when we talk about ethics and self-growth, in the Great Freedom Teaching, we present a series of three teachings that completely cuts through everything we've taken ourselves to be quickly, so that, you know, if we just show up for a month for the series of teachings, like quite a few of you in this room have, there is a complete transformation and the realization of awakened awareness. It's really amazing. So there's no need to feel that we have to wait around forever to be awake. And there's no need to ever feel that we're alone in our awakening in great freedom, because we are a worldwide community of mutual support for awakening. And we have support available to everyone 24/7. By telephone, through the internet. If you live in Siberia, we'll write you a letter. But you can count on hearing from us. So, you know, no one's alone anymore. I'm sure that all of you have had the experience of just being in some kind of sublime setting of satsang or retreat or whatever, and then going home and it's like, oh my gosh, what do I do now? Who can I talk to? We've all had this experience. And so now that problem is gone. That problem is completely gone. So this is the importance of teachers and friends. You know, when we choose a teacher and we choose friends, we want to have teachers and friends who completely support us as awakened awareness and are willing to support us in every way possible in that regard. It doesn't mean that we have to limit ourselves to any one teacher, although we can do that if we want to. But just that when we have a teacher, we want to make sure that that teacher is supporting us as already awake, that they're totally supporting us as already awake, and that they're relentless about it. They're never going to let us believe that we're a point of view. They're never going to tell us we're a point of view. There's something wrong with you. You need to be fixed. You've got this ego, and your ego is standing in the way of your awakened awareness. Well, you see, either everything is awakened or awareness, and it's equally and evenly awakened or awareness, or it isn't. So what that means is that the point of view ego is equal to the point of view Buddha or cat or television set or any other point of view. There's no repository of points of view called a personal identity or an I or a mind. Or so once we hear something in a teaching like that there is an ego that needs to be rectified or purified, or that there's somebody who needs to be fixed, there's a mind that needs to be done away with, or anything like that, it's a teaching of duality. It's not a teaching of timeless freedom. So, you know, we really have to use our discernment, and we can use our discernment in resting naturally. And, you know, when we rest naturally, the most amazing thing about it is that we love everybody. We don't have to excise people out of our lives anymore. Not teachers or anyone else. You know, See, because every point of view is timelessly awakened awareness. Every point of view is us. So every point of view is a source of tremendous gratitude, no matter what it is. So, you know, who would we have to get away from? There's no one we'd have to get away from. And when we're resting naturally, it gives us total freedom, total and complete freedom to enjoy whatever we will. You know, maybe some of us love meditation, pujas, our guru, or whatever it is. Well, you know, there's no limit to love. We can love anything or we want to, whatever we feel moved to do, as long as we're resting naturally. Then we'll have the realization of our guru. You know, we'll understand our guru completely. We can have total love for our guru then. This is what guru devotion is. It's being devoted to the guru until there's the realization that one is the guru and is the realization of the guru. So you see, whatever these points of view are, they really are the guru. and when we're devoted to our points of view, then we're devoted to ourselves as awakened awareness. So, you know, there's nothing that will ever be left out. All these points of view are originally pure. They're originally pure in their own place. And when we surround ourselves with what supports that, teachers, friends, teachings, then we realize that. We realize that. And when we place ourselves in a circumstance where that is relentless, in other words, where there's nothing else talked about or upheld, it's very easy. Would anyone like to share their experience of timelessly awakened awareness?
Ago, I was in the internet chatting in the program with my mother and my sister, although she's also in India. We were separate computers. And it was very nice. So suddenly, it's flowing, this flow of love for everyone. I can feel also here in the group. And when I walk in the streets, I cannot see anymore, like, I don't like this and I don't like that. So it was very apparent when I was chatting with my mother, and I was it typed automatically so nice things to her. So she's like, oh, it's a beautiful thing a mother can ever hear. She wrote back. I said, I wrote, and she was like, melting, and my sister wrote, and then we had to laugh so much, and we were laughing on the internet, and my mother in Germany also must have laughed all the time. We were laughing, and it was beautiful. And then and then we also included our brother and father and actually everyone, but yeah, it was so much love for everything, so it was beautiful. I can feel that more and more coming up, and not to contrive any good behavior anymore, that I notice not to be good to someone or have to please all the time. It comes, that was also my big thing, I have to please, I have to be good and not insult anybody. Now it is more and more I know what to do, and it's all more loving, more being good automatically, actually. Mm-hmm. But good is not, it's not good, it's more like a loss for everyone. So that was very nice. I can feel more and more of that coming. I can feel that. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to share, Joanne? Julian? Would you like to share?
Yeah. yeah, it's we're at day four now of the 12 inquiries, and yesterday was quite profound, I think. The looking at all the points of view as having no substance in themselves, being like a mirage, like everything, all the sounds, sensations, thoughts, everything you see, everything, all your perceptions that you normally hold as being so solid, and you normally assume that there's someone that's witnessing that, the solidity in everything, and then all of a sudden there's no solidity to the person who thinks they're observing everything, and there's no solidity in anything else either. It's all just your awareness, and everything just seemed to have the same kind of quality, all the sound and the vision and everything all at once. It was like this. It's really difficult to explain, because you just in that moment you start to feel things for what they actually are instead of what you've always taken them to be. And that was quite strong. And this morning I was sitting in my bedroom, and I was saying to Justin earlier, I was listening to some music, and I was looking at the wall, and all of a sudden the brick was like, it was made of diamond, but it wasn't like it was made of diamond, because it was brick, but it didn't have the quality of brick, it had the quality of diamond, because it wasn't a brick wall, it was just my awareness. And it was for that moment, that the brick was absolutely perfect. It was like, but just from resting, you just rest and you see it and you go, ooh. Yeah, and then all of a sudden the experience sets in, and then there's a point, when the point of view comes back, that's a brick wall, but it looks like a diamond. No, it's not, it's a brick wall. And you know that you've superimposed the point of view of the past experience onto what you're experiencing now, instead of resting now and seeing it for what it is. A completely diamond brick wall.
Yeah.
And all from just resting and things showing themselves to be what they really are. Amazing. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but it's amazing, because the realizations that people have here, there's no turning back from them. They just grow and grow and grow. Because, you know, there's nothing to be attained. So, you know, there's no destination. What is unborn isn't located anywhere, nor does it cease. So it isn't born, it's unborn. It doesn't dwell. And it doesn't have a destination. It's like if someone is never born, they don't live a life and then die. And such is the case with all the points of view, no matter what they are. They only are the basic space of awareness and nothing else. So once we directly experience that, we realize that awakening, so to speak, is not a destination. It's not a destination. It's always been the case. And the realization of it is as whatever perception is arising. And that perception is nothing but the dynamic energy of awareness. It's inseparable from the awareness, like the color blue is inseparable from the sky. It just cannot be separated out. And when there is the direct experience of that, then increasingly there's the decisive reality of that in every single perception, as every single perception, with no observer and observed. So, you know, it's so simple. It's so simple.
Yeah.
This belief in points of view, it's just a point of view too. It's not a thing. You see, it's not a thing. It's completely demolished forever in every single moment through natural rest. Even if we're not resting, it's completely evident anyway. We just don't recognize it. It's obvious to me, for example, that everyone here has already realized it, so there's nothing to realize. What is already accomplished is very quick. Would anyone else like to share? Or ask a question? Do you have any questions?
I do have a question, actually.
Certainly.
I'm with a master in Rishikesh, like Vajraparamita from Shanti Mai.
Uh-huh.
And I've been with her for maybe 1.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I've been involved with several others, and I've been looking everywhere. You know, I've been shopping around. What you're saying today is touching me deeply, because I know it to be the truth through my direct experience.
Yes.
But, but, that's all the way I'm here. I also have and had the recognition that I am awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? But it's not a permanent awareness. So, I mean, I know it's always there, but it gets somehow obstructed again through, as you say, points of views,
uh-huh,
or thoughts, which keep me separated. So that's my experience. So I was turning to a master, which I was never really attracted to. I was always thinking I could do it on my own, but I went to see this one and this one at a retreat, mm-hmm, here and a retreat there. I read this book and another book. Another question is, what is it all about this teacher-disciple relationship? I mean, you probably heard about these words like transmission and
field. And what was
Buddha
this?
Field.
Oh, Buddha field.
Yeah. What can you say about that?
Transmission and Buddha field?
Yeah.
Well, what I can say is that there only is Buddha. That's all there is. Point of view is awareness, and awareness is point of view. Form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. Those are synonymous. And transmission is directly experienced in, of, as, and through awareness. It's just like if you experience something with a teacher, who is experiencing? It's you, you know. The teacher is your own perception. So if you have an experience, a felt sense of reality, and you call it transmission, it's a point of view if you think it's coming from someone else. The transmission, say you're, you know, with the greatest guru who ever lived in the whole world, and all your concepts fall away while you're there, like here with all these great gurus sitting in the room. And, you know, everything is gone. You can't even remember that teacher you used to go to or whatever. And you're not thinking about the future either. Am I going to be awake? Am I ever going to be awake? It's just all gone. And that's you, you know, it's not the circumstance. So what's good about that is that when you're told that's you, then you know that's you everywhere. It's not just here. But the benefit of being here is that you're directly introduced to it, not as being done to you by anyone else, but your own direct experience. So then it's up to you to elect that direct experience in every perception. Do you see what I mean? And that's what...
I mean, it's a helpful setting. Like, I mean, I could have the same transmission happening with a rickshaw driver.
Oh, you know, everything is that. Yeah, everything is that. But you see, when it gets down to it in a simple human way, and you know this because you were seeking on your own for a long time, it's just so much more helpful to have someone who's already fully realized reality, plus integrated all points of view, positive, negative, and neutral, as awareness. You know, it's very rare to meet anyone like that. It really is. So when you meet someone like that and they say, hey, let's be friends, you know, what you have is an offer of is the ultimate friendship. That's all it is. It's not some big deal of guru, disciple, power over the hierarchies. It's human beings being together and supporting each other in who they are. So that's the ultimate friend. And, you know, when you find someone like that, you just want to stay with them. And as you do, more and more, it's obvious you are who you are because you've placed yourself in a setting which is your own projection that will be relentless with you about that. You know, you've placed yourself in a setting where no one is ever going to tell you you're a point of view. No one will tell you you're separate. No one will tell you you have any thoughts that make you separate. All you will hear is rest naturally. Either two things, rest naturally or keep showing up here, and more conviction will naturally dawn. You just sit in the chair. And if you become involved in the three series of teachings in the Great Freedom Teaching, then they support you in just cutting right through the solidity of any points of view that might blindside you from time to time. You know, these are the points of view where you've been resting as awareness, and then suddenly you can't remember if awareness even exists. Because that big pet point of view, whatever it is, comes up. But you see, it's always only awakened awareness. So here, you're supported in cutting right through the solidity of that. It just is realized to be pure space, like the vast expanse of infinite.
You're saying that undoing the knots, so to say, by investigating.
Oh, investigating is just more intellectual speculation. Investigating is intellectual speculation. Here in the teachings that we offer, the true nature of the points of view is decisively experienced as awareness. So it's not about investigating or analyzing or examining the points of view. It's realizing that they are awareness. You see, there's a key distinction there. If we think there's a body, speech, and mind that has to be purified, then that's our starting point, a body, speech, and mind that has to be purified. But if we're resting naturally without seeking anything, as the essence of being, as timelessly awakened awareness, as the basic space that is the vast expanse of totality, then all points of view are included within us. Impure body, speech, and mind, pure body, speech, and mind, timelessly equal as awakened awareness. You see, we don't need to take up any position about anything. We just rest as awareness. And more, all points of view are recognized to be awareness. This is a very key distinction. You know this. You know it totally already. Do you have another question?
These great freedom teachings you're offering, I mean, you do need, from what I heard from them, you did people through inquiries. Mm-hmm. What's the difference then between an investigation and an inquiry? It's almost the same thing. I mean, it's you who is looking at the point of view in order to look through the point of view, isn't it?
There's no you looking at anything. There's only awareness. Now, the distinction is that if you're trying to purify yourself by examining and investigating your points of view and looking at them in a psychological way, trying to reshape your psychology, reshape your thoughts in order to purify your body and make it ready for enlightenment, then that is just all point of view, one point of view after another, like a frog leaping from one lily pad to another for its entire life. But when the starting point is resting naturally and realizing that all of the points of view, no matter what they are, all points of view that you've ever had, past, present, or future, that includes all conduct you've ever had, past, present, and future, all emotional states you've ever had, past, present, and future, all thoughts you've ever had, past, present, and future, all circumstances you've ever had, past, present, and future, they're all timelessly free as awakened awareness. Whether you've judged them to be positive, negative, or neutral, they're all timelessly free as awakened awareness. If you start to set up some thoughts as positive and spiritual and other thoughts as non-spiritual and some conduct spiritual, other non-spiritual, that's duality. It isn't non-duality. That's duality. So, yeah, so to rest naturally as immediate perception is the ultimate refinement of being, because it's the refinement that's already existing. The refining has always already occurred. There's nothing to be refined and no one to be refined. There's only awareness. There's only awareness. There's only awareness. There's only awareness. And it's awakened awareness as the essence of the magnificent display. There's never been anyone separated from anything. If you start with the notion that there is someone who is separated from something, that's a teaching of duality. You're already timelessly free, and resting as that timeless freedom is the uncontrived, ultimate meditation.
So you're saying the only thing that is really needed is to rest and look.
Don't even look.
Don't even look.
Who's looking, you know? You're welcome. We'll sit quietly for a few moments before we close.